Welcome to the second episode of Gender Benders. I apologize for the delay between drinks, but it was definitely great to receive so much awesome feedback and messages from people, so I can't thank everyone enough for the support and for listening. It's definitely still a work in progress, but we are slowly getting there. For this episode, we'll be talking about dealing with rejection. At this age, any form of rejection can be hard, and we obviously all have our different coping mechanisms, and we have a great crew to chat about it today. This week, we'll be starting with the two girls. We have Mia French and Eliza Millett, and after them, I'll be joined by James Sinclair, before all four of us have a chat to discuss our different answers and why we answer the way we do. We hope you enjoy, but for now, I'll hand you over to Mia and Eliza.
Thank you very much for that handover, Jesse. I'm Eliza.
I'm Mia.
And we have been fortunate enough today to speak about the beloved topic of rejection.
We're so happy to be on POCs, this really important topic. Very, very pertinent. So I feel like I think it's important to kind of talk about the types of rejection that we've faced in our lives. And like upon reflection, I think for me personally, there's been a lot of work-related rejection and then also obviously relationship-related, but we'll save that for later. But I feel like with work-related rejection, it's mainly, I don't know, like in my kind of time, like applying for grad jobs, you just get hit with those like automated emails that are just sent to 1,000 people. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Like, and I definitely say, I mean, applying for a full-time job during a global pandemic, you definitely become familiar with rejection. But in saying that, no matter how many times you get rejected, I still think it's just as bad as that first time.
Exactly. And I think going off what you were saying, like being in a global pandemic, like all the interviews are being taken place, you know, on Zoom, like definitely not face-to-face because that's not COVID safe. So you don't really get to see like who you're up against, you know, if you're at like a grad assessment center or something. And you're doing group activities and all of that, you get to see kind of the competition and it kind of informs how you're supposed to act and the answers that you're supposed to say. And you know what you're up against. And I think being in a virtual environment where you're doing it all solo, be it full-time job, grad job, casual job, part-time job, whatever.
Job.
I think, if anything, the rejection might sting a little bit more because you know that you're being your authentic self.
Yeah. And I guess almost that authentic self and like you feeling, I guess, disheartened by not getting something, I think also translates in the other whole sphere of rejection, which I love talking about it, is relationships, love, and I guess that whole area that we would love to delve into.
Yeah.
But it's like with grad jobs where you question yourself and it's like you're being your true self, and when you don't get, I guess, successful results from that, it goes the same in the whole relationship world. So I think it's especially, maybe not especially, but I guess being a girl, putting yourself out there, suggesting ideas, maybe dates, taking initiative, and then being rejected from that, I think really sucks.
Yeah. And I think especially being a girl, like when the roles are subverted in that sense that you're making the first move and you're the one that's like asking the guy for the drink and then you get rejected, it just like, it just stings that much more. But then on the flip side, which I think is quite interesting, it's like the whole nature of dating apps is that it's a numbers game. So you have to like ask as many people out for drinks, et cetera, et cetera. And I think for a girl or me speaking personally, it's a big deal for me to do that. So I don't do that often. And then you would, you know, flip kind of the script. And if a guy, you know, he can literally copy and paste the messages and send them to, you know, heaps of girls. I don't know.
Guys. I don't know if that's not the case.
Jesse James, like, let us know if you operate like that. But I feel like they can, you know, do that. And then, you know, in some experiences, if you're forward enough as a girl to make that first move, they think that you're looking for something really serious.
Yeah. And I think kind of that's what concerns me, because it's you take that step and like take that initiative. And when it's the reply is, oh, I'm not ready, I'm not wanting something serious, it's like, I'd never said I wanted to get married to you, but apparently suggesting a drink or something more than a, I don't know, more than a Hinge conversation or yeah. something means a lot.
Because also Hinge sucks.
So like, much. I hate talking on it.
I hate it. It just feels like so forced and like everyone has the standard questions that they kind of ask. I hate it. So I think it's good to like take the situation into your own hands as a yeah. girl and be yeah. like, you know what? Let's get a drink. But then it just gets
yeah.
thrown in your face. Sometimes that's not fun.
Well, considering we're, I guess, familiar with rejection in different spaces of life, I think it's also important to reflect and understand how we've coped with rejection and like what your strategies or tactics, I guess, have been. So what
definitely I would say it's kind of a multi-step process mm-hmm. with rejection, like taking the example of me making the first move, for instance. So you make the first move, like you either get rejected or you get ghosted, and that's totally something else that we'll talk about later. It's a whole other kettle of fish.
Oh no.
But I feel like with that kind of process, if you kind of, you know, you get it thrown in your face a bit and you get rejected, I think you always want to like deny that it happened. Like yeah. it literally happened with me, you know, and you delete the message. Yeah. You're like, I don't want to see that I did this. Yeah. Like I delete from my brain. But then, you know, of course, after that, you know, you're going to reel a bit and you're going to get a bit noisy and you think, oh my God, like maybe I was too forward. Maybe I didn't read the situation. Like maybe he wasn't into me, whatever, whatever. But then I think after that, after the dust kind of settles from the noise in your head, I think you kind of get a little bit empowered. You kind of think like, you know what? Everything happens for a reason. Like there's a plan. This was meant to happen. And I think obviously we'll get to this later and like want to hear your coping mechanisms lies. But I think, you know, you got to be grateful for rejection as well. Like 100%. It happens for a reason.
Yeah.
But what about your coping mechanisms?
I'm similar to you, me, in terms of step one for me is always deny, deny, deny. So in my head, I'm thinking I didn't even want the job anyway, or I didn't actually want to go for a drink, or, you know, I just pretend that was never an interest or there was no motivation even there in the first place. And I think, I don't know, that kind of just to start with at least presses down any sort of, I guess, emotion related to that rejection. The second part for me is definitely questions and noise. So that's related to, I start definitely questioning myself, comparing myself to others, like why me, why not me?
It's literally also, a downward spiral.
Literally. And then completely. And then especially probably on a Sunday, let's be honest.
Oh, scary.
Exactly. And then also, was that a stupid suggestion? Like, am I coming on too strong? Like that, do they think that I'm wanting something serious? I don't know. So I guess that question time. Mm. I don't know. It's just not enjoyable at all because I think they're stupid questions. Therefore they're going to receive stupid answers.
Yeah.
And then I guess the third and final one, which segues into conversations with friends, and you learn that, one, probably they were talking to that guy on Hinge as well. awesome. George. Yeah. Oh yeah.
Oh, yeah, I know him, yeah.
And then, but creates that conversation of like, oh yeah, well the same thing happened to me. It's not just you. But I think I always segue that with like a laughing conversation or almost taking the piss out of myself. Like, oh yeah. You know, aligning yeah. with that rejection. I think that's kind of the better way, at least for me, to deliver hard news or uncomfortable sort of news.
I agree. And I think it's like good to take light of a situation and like, you know, classic saying, but laughing really is the best medicine, I think. And like, I think it's interesting, the whole thing that you're bringing up, like talking to friends about it, because I think rejection, like at least me personally, I'm like so embarrassed by it almost. But like talking to your friends about it, you're like, okay, cool. It's not just me.
Yeah. Yeah.
And yeah, I think it's good to be like upfront and honest with your friends in that way, just so if they're like in a cage of their own noise, like who knows what everyone else is going through, you know?
Exactly.
Yeah.
And do you think, well, I guess even just talking to about rejection today and like reflecting on it, do you think looking back, there's been changes in how you've dealt with rejection or like key takeaways, I think, that maybe even draw a positive from rejection?
I think, yeah, like what I was saying kind of in my multiple phases of like coping mechanisms, I really think that everything does happen for a reason. And it's like, for example, me, like in, you know, jobs and careers and stuff like that, I think it's very easy for me personally just to get in the habit of like you know, just being content with work and just going, rolling with the punches, whatever, whatever. Yeah. And then when something happens like COVID and that impacts your role and like you're suddenly back to square one and you need to apply for new jobs and all of that stuff, I think you learn a lot about yourself and like there's lessons of resilience there that you can apply 100%. In so many different, like, you know, parts of your life. I think it's like good to have a healthy relationship with rejection, like to not, like you just can't
relationship
get
status rejected.
But like you just can't get too noisy about it because like we've all been there, we've all had so much noise. But I think learning to accept the rejection and then using it to like empower you, I think is good. Yeah. Like it's shit at the time. Oh, I can't, don't know.
delete,
Jesse. It's terrible at the time, but I think coming out the other side, you're a better person for it. Yeah. What do you think?
So I guess I kind of used to joke about always saying onwards and upwards when ever anything, I guess, bad or, I don't know, annoying sort of rejections happen. And then the more I started saying it, the more I started to believe and actually appreciate what I was saying. And I guess it resonated with me more strongly. And I guess that comes down to the fact that if I've been, I guess, my true self or put myself out there for a job, for a person, whatever it may be, a situation, if that doesn't go to plan and if that isn't accepted, then I've done me. So there's no point in trying to, I guess, mold to that fit.
Yeah.
And I guess so onwards and upwards. And I think kind of even reflecting on that is like, if I never had rejection and if I was back in that first decision point, you know, and hadn't been turned away or hadn't had to pivot kind of my direction, would I be happy or would I want that reality? And it's like, no freaking way.
No way. Like, and I feel like life as well would be a little bit boring without rejection.
Yeah,
like imagine like never having to like pivot, you know, your move and just like kind of what I was saying before about like jobs, like just staying in the same job for the rest of your life, never facing rejection. It's like, of course, maybe you might learn and grow within the company, you know, whatever, whatever. But I think it's like important experiences to kind of switch around and like you can use that with relationships as well, right? If you're just going to be in one relationship.
Yeah.
You know, it's good to get rejected a couple of times, pick yourself up, you know,
dust
learn
yourself
from
off.
It, dust yourself off.
Yeah. And I think, I don't know, I think maybe as we get more into dating and like talking about that, I definitely think it's a conversation that comes up a lot more and is a lot more comfortable to have amongst us girls particularly. But I think as well, it's particularly interesting to hear the similar frustrations that we're experiencing. So I think, as like we reflect on that, it would be very almost critical and important and beneficial for all parties to at least have an open conversation with the boys, at least to hear their side of it, because we know what we think and we're very strong, like strong.
We can speak our minds.
Exactly. And we agree. Like we're on the same page. I mean, we haven't had the perfect track record of jobs and all of that. It's been a journey to say the least. But I think how we've coped with that and dealt with it would be really interesting to compare, especially with Jesse and James, and see, I guess, maybe we needed to do something differently.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Who knows? Well, I guess that will come soon enough.
Soon enough.
Soon.
Is there anything else you want to add, me with rejection? Anyone you want to throw under the bus or?
Cut the podcast there. What about you, Liz?
No, not really. Like, I think we're pretty good. I think we've covered it all. I think it's just one of those, I don't know, inevitable life things that in the moment completely sucks.
Yeah.
And like,
but you're such a better person for being rejected.
Exactly.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't have to keep being rejected, but like,
obviously it's not great to have it on a weekly, daily basis.
Actually, a great quote I heard today was that when you say yes to something, you're saying no to all the other options. So maybe rejection is a good thing.
Yeah.
You're keeping your options open.
You got to flip the script.
Exactly.
You got to flip the script.
Now we'll hand over to Jesse and James. We'll see what they've got to say about all this.
Welcome back to the second episode of Gender Benders. We haven't heard the girls speak yet, obviously, but let's just assume that they gave us a glowing introduction. As I mentioned in the intro to this episode, I'm going to be joined by James Sinclair. James is 23, growing up on the Northern Beaches, much like myself. I think we've known each other since we were about six, I think, probably, Bagala Heights alumni.
Yeah, that sounds about right.
And graduated uni last year and now is in a grad role. James, how are we this evening?
Mate, I'm doing well. Thanks very much for having me to the surly beaches of Bondi tonight. Mate. Bit of a change of venue from last time.
A little bit of a change of venue, but I like to explore the realms of Sydney within my bubble.
Within the bubble,
within the bubble, of course.
Never leave the bubble.
Never leave the bubble.
Yeah, God forbid.
Of course. Well, thank you for coming on. I know this is, that's sometimes a bit of a touchy subject, but glad to see a strong man like yourself is willing to open up.
Yeah, I think touchy is an understatement. I am not going to look you in the eyes at any point tonight.
No, let's just stare down at this desk that is in front of us.
That's it. That's good. That's how we should do it.
Rejection. No one enjoys it.
That's another
I'm sure at a young age like this, it comes across quite frequently and sometimes it's quite hard to deal with and maybe with time it gets a little bit easier. I'm not sure. But maybe let's start with sort of the types of rejections that we've dealt with in the past. Or how about you? How about you start it off?
I think the most recent form of rejection I've had was on the way to work this morning. So there I was on the way to work, dressed nice for my recent office job, which I'm very happy about. Mm-hmm. Go to scan my Opal card at the ticket booth and it's denied. And I've got, you know, three or four people behind me with nothing better to do.
Under pressure in those situations.
Then just judge me. Masks on and a staff member who clearly doesn't want to give me the time of day. I'm dressed all up and it's very apparent to everyone I can't afford $1.80 trip to the city. So rejection, not only from, I guess, a social presence, but just one of those days where, you know, nothing feels like it's going your way.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Are you still using Opal cards? I'm more on the credit card game these days.
Yeah, look, it's, I mean, I just finished uni, so I forgot that.
You still on your concession?
Yeah, no, I'm not anymore, but
it's a rough day when you get that email.
No, but I've got to start the auto top up because I can't put myself mentally and emotionally through that again.
No, it's hard, isn't it?
No,
I think, I guess rejection can come in many forms, and I guess it can be a little thing like that, and it can sometimes throw off your day, or it can be something much bigger. And I think throughout my life, and obviously I won't get into all the times I've been rejected. We'll be here for a very long time, but I think the times it hits the hardest is when you've put in the most work for something. So yeah, whether it's been for a job, sporting team, friendship, relationship, I think that's when it stings the most. And it probably makes it harder to deal with than just getting your card rejected on an Opal, as rejected, as bad as that would feel, I think. And obviously I've had experience with all of those. And I think, yeah, I feel probably one of the first times that I felt the worst rejection was, and I won't get too much into it, it's probably like year 10, didn't make the seconds cricket team. It's like the first time that I'd really worked hard for something, really actually put in hours, really actually cared about something, and having that not presented to you. I think back then it felt like the end of the world.
And so how's your self-confidence doing after that?
Oh, mate, it didn't go up.
back to the sheds for a long, cold shower.
Correct. Had a good time in the thirds there for a little bit. But no, I think that first time, that first big one is really hard to get over. And I think that sort of was really scary at that stage because normally I'm quite an open person. I'm sure that you would say that. I'm sure a lot of my friends would say that. But back in those days, I think it was very... I would just sort of bottle it up and just deny instead of
for
facing
sure.
it.
I think especially growing up, it's easier to sweep it under the rug and put mm-hmm. on a brave face mm-hmm. And pretend that, you know, taking 6-4 in the thirds is anywhere equivalent of, you know, getting smacked for 6.
Didn't help me with the ladies either.
No, I think you're right, man. I think even now it's a lot easier to just pretend everything's all right and that might work for a little while, but you know, I think it's something that is important to talk about and that's why we're here getting candid.
Correct, so. That's it. And I think when it is those big ones, it can feel really deflating and it does affect other parts of your life, even days, weeks, months after that it happens. I think that's the scary thing about it, and dealing with it head on is probably crucial both for your physical health, your mental health. And if you don't, which I probably haven't done well in the past, especially a few years ago when I probably hadn't had as much experience in it, then other parts of your life will be detrimentally affected. And I think having those correct coping mechanisms, which we'll get into in a second, is probably the best way to deal with it.
Not sure about you. Yeah, for sure.
So I guess in terms of coping mechanisms, what would you say is probably your either go-to process? I'm sure it depends on the case, but sort of how do you tackle this sort of thing?
Yeah, I think this is something that I've always been very passionate about, but, you know, never really felt empowered to speak about, but I'd say going to therapy is absolutely up there, whether, you know, you think you need it or the stigma around it. I've been going on and off for quite a while now, and I genuinely can't overstate the importance of it. I think it is scary and kind of very stigmatized, but you know, I think you'd be surprised in the conversations I've had with my mates when it happens and it comes to that sort of topic, how many people are thinking about it or already doing it. And I think it really you know, stops or mitigates the sort of other negative coping mechanisms that I've struggled with in the past.
I think it's one thing to promote therapy, and I'm definitely one to promote that and tell my mates to do it. But one thing to actually take that leap and do it is probably the hardest thing. I think that first couple of sessions probably, definitely the hardest. But they're the ones that are obviously trained to tell you what to do in those situations, and it doesn't let you spiral out of control, which is definitely something I did probably between the ages of 16 to 20. In any form of rejection, I felt like it was. When I sort of mentioned before, it sort of felt like the end of the world, and I would bottle it up. And I guess sort of coming back to having put so much work into something and only be told no, it sort of made me think that it all wasn't worth it. So I guess why would I try again when I know that I put so much work in and then for whatever reason it doesn't occur in whatever situation it is. And then like, what do I do with my life now? I sort of went through that little existential crisis there with like finishing school and like
God forbid.
Going into uni, and it's like, what the fuck do I do with my life? Yeah. And then rejection in uni or work or whatever comes and keeps coming. It's like, when does this fucking end, and when is it actually going to go up? And I think not really having any perspective at that age
definitely
exacerbates it. Yeah. And that's the time to probably have a talk with someone, because they have had that experience. They do have that wisdom to actually share with you that it will get better.
I think everything you've just described is like just a perpetuation of teenage angst, which I myself love. I hope to never ground this phase.
Hey, you got a tattoo.
Tattoo, so I'm kind of locked in now. Yep. But no, I think especially with everything going on at the moment, you can do your therapy or any sort of counseling session online or like through a video call, which is really good if you, like myself, can't look at people in the eye.
Like right now.
Yeah, I'm watching this timer. Wow. And or, you know, you're just not particularly comfortable with it. I found that's been a massive help and much more convenient. You can just post up for 45 minutes.
Totally.
And get that done. But yeah, I think if not, you tend to let yourself spiral, and especially at the moment where you can't necessarily go out and see your mates or go for a walk or whatever it is. Yep. If we've got any, you know, Melbourne listeners, which, you know,
I'm second sure episode.
I know, but I can dream. But no, I think that it's something that I'd definitely be a proponent of, and is probably the only coping mechanism that I feel confident in really promoting.
Yeah, I'm definitely glad that in the last few things have definitely shifted for me in terms of my coping mechanisms. I think I'm a very big believer of having that large circle of people around you, and I have a very reliant circle of friends around me, and I think they're the people to either rely on or at least lend an ear with to terms of getting you over that sort of thing. So not only that, but just sort of learning to be honest and realistic with yourself, however you get to that point, is something that I'm constantly trying to work on. And when dealing with these sort of situations, I think the more you deal with them, the more you realize that there is always another avenue that you can take to reach your goal, whatever that may be. And often for me, that can be maybe even writing something down. It's like setting goals, make it very tangible. I can wake up every morning, at least now I know that these are the steps I'm going to take to get to whatever it is. And I can sort of work towards that. Whereas before, it would just all be in my head. I wouldn't know what I'm sort of doing.
Yeah.
So yeah, I think just the perspective and the wisdom
I'm laughing because I know logically that sounds good, but every time I hear something on talk like that, I just can't help but be an asshole and be like, this is just every LinkedIn post I've ever seen. It is,
mate. And you know what me, I'm a LinkedIn slut.
Yeah. I know, but like, you know, there's genuine merit to that. And I think I'm someone who operates a lot by lists and goals and tasks and that sort of thing. And I think the worst thing you can do is let it sit and fester. Or I know the girls are going to talk about a bit of head noise. So that sort of, you know, just letting the voices in, I think is the worst thing you can do, but I'm sure we'll get to that later. But
I mean, whatever it takes, I mean, everyone's different and I'm sure, the girls will talk about it a little bit. I think, what do you think for you has been the biggest thing that's changed in maybe even just the last couple of years in terms of how you've dealt with these sort of things?
I think, especially recently, I've just learned not to take everything so personally.
Yep.
I think it's hard to do when it does feel so personal, you know, when in your case, the coach sits you down and says, look, mate, we're going to need that baggy green. No, the baggy blue.
Baggy blue, that's it.
hit the bricks.
Yeah.
But no, I think especially the thing going on, it's been good to get a bit of perspective on the bigger picture and maybe not getting that job or, you know, not being allowed into the bar at 11:30 p.m.
Doug Allerar, yeah, that hits home.
Yeah, no, I'm blacklisted, I think. But no, I think those are the things where, you know, you can take it on the chin and you can let it ruin your day or your week, or you just take a step back and realize that this probably happens to everyone. And if things do get bad, that's when you go and pay someone to listen to you.
Totally.
Moan, yeah.
I totally agree. I think perspective has to be the biggest thing. I think with age and experience in life, you come to the realization that, yeah, most of the things, for the most part, do find a way of working themselves out. You'll eventually get that job or find that girl or boy, whoever you're into. But at the same time, I feel free to disagree with me here if you do. I feel like when you realize something may never work out, whether it can be with a particular person or situation, then just accepting that fact and moving on is probably the best thing you can do. And learning to do that is probably one of the hardest things to do, just accepting people may not like you, accepting that something may never happen, especially at a young age when you've got your whole life ahead of you and people tell you that it will work out. And sometimes it doesn't happen. Sometimes things do work out, but I think sometimes you do have to sort of come to that, at least be honest with yourself. And I don't think I find much point in staying hung up on particular things compared to maybe a few years ago and focusing on what you can control. And I think that'll probably enable you to be a little bit happier in life.
I think I was thinking about that, and I think my immediate knee-jerk reaction to that is to call you a liar, drink 5 to 7 schooners and try and find a bit of confidence. But I think that inevitably comes crashing down. And I think growing up is about learning that maybe we're all not going to be astronauts. Some of us have to, be the janitor that totally cleans out the suit after the excursion. So, no, I think that's probably the best way of looking at it is, I guess you only let things affect you. Wow, I'm getting profound.
No, I like candid. It. Keep going.
You only really, things like rejection, you only let them affect you if you really fixate on it. Whereas if you can kind of learn to take that step back or go with the flow or whatever it is.
Totally. That was really nice.
Then we'll all be better people.
Thank you. Write that on a pillow or something. I'll sleep on that every night.
Tombstone.
Great. Well, I think that's probably a good time to wrap things up in terms of me and James having a chat. What we'll do now is we'll have a listen to what the girls say. Really interested to see what they say. Me and James will take some notes. And then all four of us will have a chat together. I think this will be a really interesting discussion to see what sort of their mechanisms are and how they might be a little bit different to ours. I'm sure they are.
I'm excited. Yeah.
Anyway, we'll be right back with that conversation with everyone. Cheers. Welcome back. Well, all four of us have had a listen to what we had to say. Some very interesting things were brought up by the girls. No, I'm kidding. It was good.
Jesse.
So now we're all joined here in the Millet household to have a bit of a chat about why we answer the way we do. So, girls, what did you think about what we had to say?
Well, first off, I thought you guys were particularly open, which I think we really appreciated, and almost jumped to, I guess, the initial conclusion that maybe we were going to overshare and be on a different, I guess, wavelength of how much we were going to talk about.
I think it's good, that you guys are being vulnerable as well. Like, you wouldn't think this would be kind of like a footy room chat, but here we are. I think it's a good thing. So, yeah.
I mean, Jesse played third cricket. I played central basketball, so we won't go on footy rooms anyway.
We were footy rooms.
I didn't tell the success of that story, but I eventually made the ones.
Did say that was our big flag at the start, was when we reflect on when's the time you've been rejected or when was your first moment of rejection, and Jesse pulled out the not making the second we're on different pages.
I think on that note though, I think compared to a few years ago, and talking about rejection now with my guy mates, it's definitely a lot different in terms of being able to be a bit more open and things. And I probably was more leaning towards just telling my girlfriends about things when it came up a few years ago. I think that's a good thing that's definitely changed for me.
I think it's interesting though when you said, Jesse, around like the first time, you know, your first memory kind of like of being rejected and like the sporting kind of experience that you spoke about. I feel like Eliza and I, like, we paused the audio at the time. We like discussed like as we compared notes. And I think it's interesting because I can't pinpoint the first time I've been rejected because, as we'll touch on later, which I think was some similarity between the two of us, it's like the deny. Like, you just get it out of your head so you don't fixate on it.
Yeah. And almost it's like, if I associate putting myself out there with that rejection, probably wouldn't want to continue to put yourself out there. Yeah. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Was there a particular point that you wanted to
I guess we should do that. I guess the first one we wanted to talk about, and maybe because we felt that our coping mechanism, we felt like it had more, I guess, stages or structure to how we deal with our rejection. So initially we sort of talked about how we deny and then we question ourselves, but then we segued quite easily to we then have open conversations with our friends. And that's when you, I guess, have that understanding that you're not the only person going through it. And it was what we understood, that maybe this conversation happens later or further down the track when it hits even like a harder point, I guess, for that's kind of something that we, I guess, picked up at least.
Yeah, no, I agree. And I think another interesting point that you guys like briefly touched on was the impact of COVID as well. Like, we didn't touch on that at all, but I think it's interesting when you put it in perspective and like you frame it in the context of COVID. You've got your support system around you, but like literally social distancing like permits inhibits like some of those kind of discussions from happening. And I think, you know, in a world sans COVID, I think you really take it for granted having like that access to your close friends, you know? What did you guys think?
I think on that, I know that when we spoke about coping mechanisms, I spoke about getting help or talking to someone. I think that ties into the fact that for me personally, you definitely have the denial stage and then like the head noise where you sit by yourself in the shower and really,
we've all been there.
You let the voices in, but I think for me, a lot of the time that phase lasts a lot longer. Whether that's me not wanting to speak to other people or feeling like I can't, and then it was difficult for me to get out of that, and it became like a weekly cycle of kind of just like spiraling. And that's sort of where I kind of was pushed to, and very thankfully to have been so, to go and get that help. And I think, COVID comes into that as well, because you can't go and lie down in your mate's room after a night out when you've woken up on their couch, or you shouldn't be doing that anyway, or getting coffee with someone and just, you know, talk shit, but that's the world.
Do you know what I thought, and which is really interesting, I guess it's almost, Jesse, your purpose of your podcast, but I was going into this being like, this would be great for the boys to realize that we get rejected and they won't understand.
Are you kidding?
I know. Jesse's sob story. But it's actually really refreshing, not only amongst like male understanding that we have a lot, you know, common ground there.
Yeah.
But it's like you guys, vice versa. It's like, go through, I guess.
Yeah, I think it comes back to, the purpose of it as well. I was probably expecting you guys to say sort of maybe different coping mechanisms, and I was a little bit surprised that they were kind of similar in the sense that I don't know even know what I was expecting. I think, but the fact
nails,
I think the deny and then the question, then the conversations is quite similar to us. How we sort of tackle each of those is probably a little bit different, and how much time we harp on each of those sections, it's probably a little bit different as well. But I think, those are definitely pretty similar mechanisms, and I think one thing I was curious about, I think, is that something you guys have always done, or do you think as you get older and the more times you experience rejection, you find that obviously the denying and the questioning yourself isn't very healthy and isn't very worthwhile, but is it still easy to just stop doing that and skip to that third stage?
I think it's good. The more rejections you go through, obviously, like the thicker skin you build, and you think, oh, another rejection, been through that, know what to do, cool, like go into autopilot type thing. This is depressing. Anyway, I think it's more like, you know, in my own personal experience, I know that I get so noisy, and I think being like self-aware enough to think, okay, Mia, you're getting a little bit too noisy. Like you need to cut yourself right here and kind of move on to the next phase of dealing with this rejection. I think like the more you go through, the more self-aware you are, and it puts you in like more positive patterns.
Yeah.
What do you guys think?
I would probably agree.
Mm.
Yeah.
I think also it links with expectation. I think mm-hmm. initially I had expectation that maybe I wouldn't get rejection was like less, more distant, maybe, I guess is a good way to put it.
Yeah.
And
that's when it hurts hard.
Exactly. Because yeah. you drop a lot further. But, I think it's like going into a situation and kind of having, I guess, more of a less of a care factor of the consequences, I think definitely helps in coming to terms with if you don't get an opportunity, I guess.
I think also on that, I think a lot of part of being rejected is like the embarrassment of it.
Oh, yeah.
Totally. And like if you don't tell anyone, then no one knows. But I think
that it didn't happen.
Yeah.
Exactly. Yeah. You just delete the messages. Unsend the DMs, delete the messages, and forget it happened. But I think what I've tried to do more of in the past 46 months is be more open about it, but make the joke about it first.
Yeah.
If you are the one paying yourself out, everyone laughs and then it's forgotten about. But if you let it get to you, you're not gonna stop hearing about it for the rest of the week.
And I'm glad that I think it's just an age thing that we've come to realize that that is the best way of dealing with it. Like a few years ago, I definitely wouldn't have done that.
Yeah.
But now I think now that we've all sort of left uni, like realize that there's a bigger life outside of like the bubble.
Yeah.
That,
wow.
You just need to learn, and we touched on this as well. That, yeah.
Say, or you try growing up half Chinese, and then
all that.
It comes as fun.
Yeah, you just learn that not everything is the be all and end all. There's always going to be something else down the line that's going to make you happy. And I think, that's just probably the best way of having an open frame of mind.
It's like the bigger the world gets, the less of an issue the rejection becomes, if you know
totally.
What I mean.
Yeah.
Just with the touching on the unsending, deleting messages, I actually learned...
It's a passing comment.
I'm just
going
to
pull it out. I actually learned 2 weeks ago that you get a notification when you unsend a message.
Yeah.
Didn't know that for a while, which is probably a real issue, but So,
which makes it even more mysterious.
It does.
Because
probably
it's
the noise is even more.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
I was like, Jesus.
Yeah.
Anyway,
yeah.
Live and learn with that one. A bit late, but
whatever you live and you learn.
Exactly. Rejection definitely is keeping me learning.
Yeah.
And I guess I think one thing you touched on as well was probably perspective. And I guess, is there something that you wish you could like maybe tell like your younger self or like other people that may not be able to deal with it as much? Or even men or women, doesn't have to be anything specific or any specific situation, I guess. And none of us are perfect, obviously.
Yeah.
And none of us deal with it the best ways. But obviously we have, and I said this to James as well, everyone's different.
Yeah.
And they have their own ways of dealing with things. But I guess, maybe just combining what both of us have said, is there something that you would change or you would tell yourself to change knowing what we do and things like that?
I think being cautious of the amount of noise you let into your head, because if you let it into your head too much, then you're just going to go in a downward spiral. And like me personally, it's just like such negative self-talk. You think, oh my God, why did I do this? Like you just overanalyze so much about every single thing that you did. It gets to the point where it's ludicrous and you think life is moving on, like move on with life. Don't get so caught up in it.
So what's the best way of doing that?
That's a loaded question.
I would say conversation is definitely one, and it's when older people say to you, it's going to be okay.
Yeah.
And it's like, you don't understand what I'm going through, but in reality, they've been through similar. But it's, I think, getting that advice and looking for, taking that rejection and looking for, like you guys said, setting the goals.
Mm.
How am I going to get past this? Or look at other opportunities, I think.
Yeah.
And I think talking to your friends about it too, Liz, like you made a really good point. I think when you're in that state of noise, you're thinking like you're so isolated and you think that it's just you, but like having kind of like, the safety to speak to your friends about it.
Yeah, and also if you're
confident,
if you're worried about something, sitting on it by yourself isn't going to make it any better.
If it's
you got to swallow your pride and text your mates, what happened. Or,
but at the same time, a few years ago, I hated talking to people about it because they'd all just hit you with those cliches. Like, it'll be okay.
Yeah. Yeah.
There's not a fish in the sea. The next opportunity will present itself. And then I'm like, no fucking shit, it will. Like, I know that, but I'm in this like downward spiral. This isn't helping me right now.
Yeah.
And now I realize that, yes, that actually does happen.
Yeah.
And obviously it will work out. And I think people do realize that those cliches don't necessarily work. And James, we want to plug this Are You Okay Day coming up this week.
It is.
Just a good time. Yeah,
it's very timely.
It's about having those conversations other than just those cliches and actually whether it is just venting and the other person not saying anything or whether it is just giving a little bit of constructive criticism when it sometimes it is hard to hear.
Yeah.
I think it depends on the person and you probably know that person well. So it's just about tackling it the best way, I think.
And I think as well, on the other side, complimenting that person that's having difficulties and being the one to listen and just let them vent and let them, I guess, have that opportunity and like comfortable space to have that conversation.
Definitely.
James, any other?
I was just laughing because we were talking about how we all heard the cliches about how it's all going to get better, and then that's what we would tell our younger selves.
Yes.
It's very clear that if we did that,
if I told, all get up, I would have punched myself.
Clock myself in the face. What is it? Wisdom comes to the age.
I think you can just, I can just use myself as an example. You just explain how like you can go through all these bad things and eventually you said it as well. Like, would you change much in the past? If like, would you choose not to get rejected several times?
Yeah.
Would you be in the same position right now? Would you be as happy? Probably not.
Exactly.
I mean, you could be, but there's no way of ever knowing that.
Yeah, no.
If you're happy now, then what's the point of even harping on about things that have happened in the past? I need to let go about the cricket thing.
I think like everything happens for a reason. You've got to be grateful for rejection and just like flipping the mindset, I think, is a good thing to think about. Like the more rejection you kind of go through, the more you think, yes, there are more fish in the sea. Like there's a better job opportunity for me out there. So yeah, I think like putting it in perspective of time, I think really helps.
Totally.
Yeah.
Well, thank you everyone. That was fun.
That was very fun.
I think it's awesome. And we mentioned it that, you guys agree to this and that we feel comfortable enough talking about a touchy subject like this. I think that's the whole point about the whole podcast, just promoting being able to move forward with your friends and be able to have those open conversations, whether it's in podcast form or just a one-to-one private conversation.
I think on that note, I forgot you were driving me home, so I want silence.
I've told you everything I need. Use the whole night's up a conversation.
We're done,
All right. Well, thank you everyone for listening as well. And we'll see you next time.